we follow each meditation session with a little bit of talk, just so we can understand more and more about meditation, about the body, about the soul, about the mind, and what is metaphysics, and what is mysticism, what is supernatural state, all those kind of things. And you have questions, you can bring them. Today I will title this little talk called Why Beat Around the Spiritual Bush? Spirituality is a very straight path. There is you, your soul, your true self, your consciousness, and there's a divine power. What is difficult for us to connect? There are obstacles. Who created the obstacles? Did God come down and say, I will give you stress, I will make you worry, I'll make you sick, I'll make somebody die? God doesn't do that. God gave life. Whatever comes to us comes because of the law of cause and effect. As you sow, so also you shall reap. For every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. It's both a scientific law and it is a spiritual law. And spiritual life is the most natural life because you're following the system of nature. And nature does not consist of stress and worries, anxieties, depressions and everything else. Nature functions in a harmonious way. If you stop and think a little bit about your own body, how meticulously it's made, with so many trillions of cells that you cannot see a cell with your naked eye. And in every cell, there are innumerable tiny, what you call organelles, small organs, smaller than the cell, that do all kinds of work. They make chemicals and proteins and antibodies and use up glucose to make energy, things of that nature. They all go on in the cellular level. We don't see them. But how accurately they work. And different cells in the body work differently to do different functions. The brain cells work differently, using glucose as energy and functions to produce your mind, produce thoughts, produce reflex activities, control the functions of the body. Liver cells work differently. They make proteins and they make antibodies and they make cholesterol and do other things. They get rid of the destroyed red blood cells, forming bile pigment that is recirculated in the body. It's used again. You conserve the iron stores, because red cells live about 120 days and then they are destroyed in the spleen or lymphatic organs, and then they're recirculated or recycled. The iron is conserved and you make new blood. Kidney cells function to filter the impurities from the blood and make urine, get rid of uric acid and urea and different substances. Just so every cell in the body functions precisely. How does all of this happen? If you think about it, do you think they all happen by chance? The scientists cannot come to an answer yet why a certain cell functions in a certain way and why an organ functions in a certain way and another organ functions differently. The biochemical processes going on in every different organ is different. Why does it happen that way? Everything in nature is like this, that the scientists may observe what is happening. They may categorize, they may systematize, they might name things, but they cannot explain that basic principle of why a seed germinates and grows into a plant. Why a sperm and egg combine to form what is called a zygote, and then that grows and grows and becomes a baby. Why does it happen? there's a conscious process going on. Two cells uniting to form life, they're not dead cells, and yet either one cannot live by itself. They're microscopic. If not fertilized, each one will die. But once fertilization takes place, life begins. People say that life does not come into that fetus until some time, maybe 6 months or a time of birth or with the first breath. People have theories about this, but nobody knows. We have to go back spiritually to the very beginning. If the life wasn't in the cell, how could the cell be alive? And if the cell is alive, what makes it alive? There's a consciousness that pervades every cell in this universe. That consciousness keeps every cell alive and keeps every cell in your body functioning the way they should. Having understood that, we have to go a little bit further than the physical and say there is something that we can call energy or force or power or soul that energizes all the cells. If that were not there, then you will be a dead body, and a dead body doesn't have functioning cells. What keeps this body alive? That is what we have to know. And the greatest masters in the world have said to know your own self. They didn't mean to know your body. Everybody knows the body. Why instruct somebody to know yourself if it's just to know the body? Know yourself is to know the reality within you, the soul. Why is it so important to know this? Because this is the basis of your being. Why not try to know what gives you life, what gives you consciousness, what gives you mind, what makes you a human being or any other living being? The mystery of life is tied up in this mysterious thing which we don't actually know with our physical senses, but which we can perceive intuitively as the soul, and that is divine. Nobody can destroy a soul. Now, having said all that, I open this statement, why beat around the spiritual bush? What does that mean? Beating around the spiritual bush means that people are searching in every other place except within themselves. You know, beating around the bush, you're trying to chase out a little animal and you beat all around the bush, maybe the animal will run out. But you don't know where the animal is in the whole bush. So, people practice all kinds of religions. They practice black magic. They go to astrologers. They go to soothsayers. They go to pilgrimages. They go to various churches of all kinds of denominations and split denominations. They go to all kinds of places to get what? Are they happier having gone to any of these places when they don't know themselves? They're beating around the bush. And we can say the spiritual bush. Because often their motive is to grow spiritually. Now, this is not to decry any religion or any church or any holy place. It is not. It is meant to show that there is something more than that. For if you do not have a temple in your own heart, your heart can never be in any temple. The temple made by man's hands can never equal the temple made by God's hands. You are that temple. This is a temple. Coming and sitting here does not give us enlightenment. You can come every day from morning to night. You can look at any picture, decoration, or delight, or whatnot. You're not going to get the knowledge of yourself. But coming here and sitting in meditation and turning your consciousness inward and realizing who you are, ask yourself, who am I? And allow that intuitive answer to flow from within yourself. And it comes into your consciousness. Oh yes, now I realize. All the things I've been seeing and doing are really false. This body that I've admired, I've cared for, and that which I think is myself, is temporary, it is destructible. It will die. So who am I? Now I am sitting here, you say, I am so and so. Maybe 10 years from now, I may not be alive. So what was the reality of me anyway? What is the reality of anything that exists now and you can perceive with your senses, but at another time does not exist? Is it real? If you think correctly, then that's not real. Because anything that is real has to be real today and has to be real for all time. Reality means that which remains real. Truth means that which is truth. It's not false. So anything that disintegrates in time is not reality. But there's something that doesn't disintegrate. The universe doesn't go into nothingness. Something does exist. And that we can call God. We can say the Supreme Power, Supreme Being, Supreme Consciousness, Cosmic Consciousness. It doesn't matter. And that is in you. Why do you think in St. John it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? But then they add in a little piece more, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men, and that sort of thing. But think of the first part, which is exact. It is true. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. In the beginning there was God. From God all things came. Now, people talk about creation and they talk about evolution. And there's controversy. I'm sure you're aware of that. Did God create the world, or did the world evolve according to Darwin's theory from simple cellular organism within the oceans and so on? Now, both of them in some ways look correct, and in other ways both of them look wrong. In the metaphysical sense, if God were to create and there was nothing but God, what is he going to create and with what? So philosophers struggle with this question. Even God cannot create something when there is nothing, out of nothing, when he is himself the whole, the entire, whatever existed. So in a metaphysical way then, God became, he manifested, he projected, or he permeated. You can say he changed himself into everything and he became everything. A way of understanding that is you can put 1,000,000 jars with water and let one moon shine. It will shine in every one of those 1,000,000 jars. The moon didn't come in each jar, but the reflection is there. Something from the moon is there in every one. But there's only one moon. If the moon ceases to exist, every reflection will cease to exist. If the ocean ceases to exist, every wave will cease to exist. If God ceases to exist, every life form will cease to exist. That is the metaphysical way of understanding this. Therefore, God did not create God, but God became everything. That is why God is said to be omnipresent. If God created, then he created you there. Let's say, for the sake of talking, I am God. And I made you, and I made you, and I made you. I am separate from you. You are over there. I'm over here. What does omnipresence mean? Omnipresence means omni, from the Latin word, everywhere, all-inclusive. There's no gap where God isn't. So if God is omnipresent, how can He create something apart from Himself and still say, I'm omnipresent? It doesn't work. That's not logical. So, in a mystical sense, metaphysical sense, transcendental sense, God did not create, but God became everything, therefore He permeates everything, therefore He is omnipresent. Now, how did God do that? That is a mystery, still unsolved. There is a theory of what is called Maya. Maya is called illusion. This is the Indian terminology, and it is the Buddhist terminology. There was a power that God Himself has this power within Him to become whatever He wanted to become according to His own wishes, or her own wishes. God has no gender, you have to remember that. So when we realize that there is one Supreme Being, there's not two gods. Everybody may pray to God in a different way and use different names, different languages, but the supreme power is always one. That is why we have a universe and not a multiverse. Realizing that there's a unity, then why do we beat around the bush to try to find this unity? Why do we have to get so confused with religions and doctrines, scriptures, dogmas, rituals, practices, ceremonies? And then out of these arise misunderstandings and schisms, divisions, different sects, different interpretations. When all of us are human beings, we all have the same brain, same body, same aspirations, our physiology and biochemistry work the same. And yet, our mental creation causes so many divisions and misunderstandings, misinterpretations, that we get confused. Which one do I follow? Do I follow this sect, that religion, that one? This is the best religion, that's the best religion, this is the best prayer, that's the best observance. It's all confusing. You, a simple human being, in whom God manifests, close your spiritual eyes and are searching. Like a blind person who's lost, doesn't know where to go. And then somebody says, oh, go this way, and you go that way. You go that way, you didn't find your destination, somebody else says you go that way. And so you get misled in life. Why? Because you do not know your own bearings. Your own bearings will be known to yourself in the secretness of your own heart, or secrecy of your own heart, intuitively, that I am. You have no other affirmation that's greater than saying, I am. And you don't say, I am to mean your body. I am as an eternal principle, the divine presence that is within. So you don't beat around the spiritual bush. If you want to become truly spiritual, you go straight to the source. No great teacher in the world yet has seen God outside. Not in any mountain, not a holy river, not under any tree, not in any church. No priest in the whole world yet has been able to walk into his church and say, oh, I see God, God is sitting there. Or they may hallucinate, yeah. But every saint, every great prophet and teacher realized God in themselves. Jesus found God in himself. So did Muhammad. So did Guru Nanak. So did Guru Kabir. So did Lao Tzu. So did Meera, the princess of India. And all the great teachers of humanity. Saint John found God, She spoke to God from within herself. She didn't go and say, "Oh, I saw God over there, I'm talking to God." And they burnt her at the stake because people don't understand. They hanged Jesus on the cross because they didn't understand. They gave Meera of India poison to drink because they didn't understand. Guru Kabir, they tortured by throwing him in the Ganges and putting him in front of the wild elephant to trample on him. Fortunately, he did not die. But this is what happens with the people of God. Other people don't understand them. They seem to speak a different language. People think they're confused. They're mentally nuts. And yet, these are the people who have left a legacy of scriptures and teachings and ethical and moral codes of behavior that the world must follow eventually, even after their death. Jesus died nearly 2,000 years ago, but his teaching still is here. And the teachings of every saint, of every country, of every time, is always permanent. It will last for all time because they're based on eternal principles. And they don't beat around the bush. Jesus said, "Be still and know that I am God." He didn't say, "Go and run about here and there," to his disciples. "Be still." How can you be still? Sit quietly, close your eyes, still your mind, get rid of all the extraneous thoughts. When you're still, then God speaks to you. That is the teaching. If you want to be on a spiritual path, if you want to be on the path of meditation, you want to be on the path of yoga, and if you want to be on the path of true religion, I don't mean the average religion. Every religion has core teachings, which is called the esoteric teaching, the inner teachings. And the inner teachings were revealed to the close disciples of every spiritual teacher. But the masses did not understand. That is why Jesus said, "Do not cast pearls before swine, for they will trample on it." Because people do not understand the pearl of spiritual wisdom. But those people who seek will find. Jesus taught that. "Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Where are you going to seek? You seek in your own self. Where do you knock? You can't knock on people's doors. You knock at your own mind, your own self, and allow God to manifest from within yourself. So try to be on the spiritual path and don't keep beating around the spiritual bush. You get confused. You don't know where God is. When God is sitting within you and observing what you are doing, and God, if we can term it this way, God is watching the game that you are playing, and you're confused and you're lost and you don't know what you're doing. And people are fighting religious wars in the name of God, and God is watching and say, "Well, what are these people doing? They know not what they do." Spiritual life is very simple. It's a straight path. Still your mind and know. But divinity is within you. The power is within you. The glory of God is within you. Grace is within you. Forgiveness, love, tranquility, peace, harmony, they're all within you. But all of these are discarded because your mind brings in lust, ego, greed, vanity, pride, prejudice, and everything else. And you're so motivated by these things that the reality in you gets pushed away. But when your life is fixed on the reality, all these other things don't have any room in your life. You don't have energy to waste with prejudice and vanity, pride, affectation, lust and greed. They just don't hold any interest for you. If somebody tells you a harsh word, it doesn't bother you. It doesn't matter. It's words. Let him talk. So our Guru Kabir has said, if somebody insults you and you return it, it multiplies. Don't return it, it remains one. He also said, if somebody sows thorns for you, you sow flowers. When the time of reaping comes, he will have thorns, you will have flowers. Mystics use these kinds of allegorical expressions to teach the eternal truths. So let us not beat around the spiritual bush, but go straight to the core of your own reality. Connect with your own self, know your own self, and that will give you immense peace, immense self-control, immense power over your own self, over your passions, your emotions, your frustrations, and you will enjoy tranquility, peace, and bliss. That's what we want in life. We don't want all the external things. They're not going to go with us. What will go with us is the development, the understanding, the beauty, the love, the peace of mind. These are the things we need. And this is so elusive in the world today. People are fighting all over the world because they do not know themselves. And they do not know that the divine being is in my brother and in my sister. Why should I fight with them? It doesn't achieve anything except discord and hurt, suffering. We don't like all of that. We know, we can say these things, but it must be within our heart. Love must be there. And if all of our actions are motivated by love, then the whole world can be a better place. So, let us not beat around the spiritual bush, but understand our own self and seek that treasure, that valueless, priceless treasure that's within yourself. And you will have achieved the goal of this human existence.